Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I will be talking about the benefits of your wife's hormonal decrease, which many men don't understand. And of course, if you're a woman, then it's interesting to listen to this as well. I'm just directing it toward men, as men are the ones who think that there are absolutely no benefits, which is ironic because they're the same ones that are saying that women act crazy when they're younger. And we will get to that as soon as I tell you to subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode was why not to take tracking your wife's ovulation to a dystopian novel level. And, you know, that title speaks for itself. And many women feel very objectified by that, and with good reason. So, you know, listen to that episode. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be aware, but it just means how some people do it is kind of messed up. All right, so there's so many negatives to aging that are, you know, proliferated in our culture. We have a very anti-aging, youth-positive culture, which is shitty, right? Because everybody ages. And it's much, much better for people to live in societies that accept who they are, right? So men think that they're supposed to be attractive and successful in their 40s and 50s, and that's a hell of a lot better for their self-esteem than women who are told by the media that that's when they hit the wall or whatever. And of course, increasingly, this is changing a lot, but I'm just saying it used to be especially that, you know, a female actress couldn't even get jobs, you know, that the after a certain age and people were thought to be very useless almost after their breeding power was done, in terms of females, obviously. So now things are changing a bit, but not fully. There's still a lot of bias and a lot of, you know, very negative framing of female aging in particular. And it's ironic because when women are younger, a lot of men are much, much less happy in their marriages. And, you know, I used to work with a lot of those couples. And now I work with older people. I used to work with, you know, I used to be part of a group and my rates used to be a lot lower. I even used to accept insurance back in the day when I started. So, of course, younger people can't really afford as much as older people. So that's who I used to work with then. And also I got older, you know, obviously younger people want to go to younger people a lot and older people want to go to older people. And in my 40s, I get more people who are in their 40s and 50s than their 20s and 30s for the reasons that I stated. But I used to work with those people and they are, and I still do. Some of them still do come in and they're not happier. The things that they're dealing with that the men are upset about are literally the negative effects of the woman's hormones because she thinks she's fucking crazy and she thinks she's fucking crazy because she is because and not, you know, not like crazy, like some like that's a diagnosis. But over the month, if you are not on birth control, you feel a lot different. This is not a joke, and I talk about it all the time. And in a woman's premenstrual phase, that's the whole luteal phase for a lot of women. It's they feel like the luteal phase is right after ovulation. A lot of women feel worse, by the way, the day after ovulation than they even do the day before their period. And so you feel terrible. You feel like very sad and down and low self-esteem. And you're always like, you know, very rejection sensitive and more tired, snippy, irritable. So it isn't all like a sad, you know, like a poor, sad person. No, sometimes that woman is a bitch, you know, a lot of the time, and is like angry and irritable and enraged. I mean, PMDD is no joke. And a lot more women have undiagnosed PMDD than you think. And that's premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And that's like super bad PMS. All of us women who struggle with depression, not all, of course, people go nuts if you say like all. I speak colloquially, by the way, on this in case that isn't patently obvious by how much I curse. So, you know, there's no peer review for this non-publication that I am saying for 20 minutes every couple days into the speaker of my phone, if that isn't obvious. So I speak colloquially, same as I would speak to a peer, you know. But so many of us women who struggle with depression, and I've been very vocal about how that includes me, we are terrible based on where our cycle is. It's just, it's horrible. It is outside of your control. The things that control it, by the way, such as going on birth control works for some, SSRIs work for some, that stuff gets rid of your sex drive because there's, say it with me, no free lunch, right? So many women feel incredibly liberated and act a hell of a lot more normal when they're, and by normal, I mean calm, collected, basically their best self. So if you don't have a luteal phase, you don't have the ovulation either, which is the downside. So you don't have the few days that you feel like really good and sexy, but you also don't feel like shit afterwards. And that is a hell of a lot different for a lot of women. And so particularly if you were in a Mr. Perfect and his crazy wife dynamic, then you were very unhappy, made very unhappy by your wife's mood oscillations over the course of the month. And when that goes away, there's a huge, huge benefit. And let me just be clear. When women are unhappy with you, young women, and y'all don't have to, you could just go into your own life experience to think about this. When your younger wife was unhappy with you, you usually weren't getting laid anyway because she's hurt, she's upset, you're insensitive, you know? So as your wife ages, her hormones change and her wisdom accrues, she becomes a mother of increasingly older children. And so her empathy usually goes up. And she feels more like a friend to you. In a healthy marriage, that's how it goes. She feels less like everything that you do is so important because she realizes you're just another human being. And the fact that her hormones are not going insane in the background every month makes her able to deal with this realization and to actually execute it in practice. Happy couples that are older, that are like in their 50s and 60s, they have a good, really strong friendship bond. And that friendship bond is stronger because they do not have the ups and downs and the hormonal variations of a lot of younger people. So it's so funny how the same people, this is like just, I mean, it's not funny, it's very ironic. But the same men will come to me at age 50 and be like, my wife, she doesn't understand my son. He's just, you know how he is. You know, he's 16 years old. He just wants to stay out all night. He wants to like hang out with his girlfriend. He wants to do things with his friends. She's just always trying to keep him safe. He can't be safe. Basically, he's at a stage of life where he just wants to explore and do this and do that. And then, oh, by the way, the other problem is that my wife, she's going through menopause. She never wants to have sex. It's like, okay, so wait. So your son, you know, his hormones have turned on. He's at this different stage. He wants to explore. He wants to do things that may be risk-taking, even dangerous. And you're like, you know what? Like, let him explore. Let him be his best self. But then on the other hand, you can't find any positives. And then you're down on your wife, by the way, for thinking that the risk-taking or the dangerous behaviors of your son are like all bad, you know? And then you can't find any positives of that she's going through menopause. Is she not calmer with you? Does she go up and down and follow you around saying, do you really care about me because you did X, Y, Z? Probably not. You know, the couples that where, and I see this a lot with women that are very, you know, based on their hormones, women who have worse PMDD, women who are depressed, women whose cycles really rule them. I see them every other week. Every other week, I've discussed this before, they're into their husband, and on the alternate weeks, they're not. By the way, though, if they're not into him enough on the alternate weeks, because he is a person too and he contributes to this, so if he's avoidant and difficult and cold, then she may want to have sex and she just doesn't because she fucking hates him. So, you know, she doesn't. And so these couples have screaming fights because she cares like super much, too much, because she's so sensitive given the hormonal variations. And of course, that's not all that she is. But it really is a huge impact. You know, when women start tracking their own cycle and their mood, you know, which you have to do if you're a woman who's trying to get a handle on her depression. And I always ask women where they are in their cycle, you know, and I'm like almost never wrong because it's so, so different. I know it for myself, too. You feel so different. This is why I do podcasts like How Do Women Feel During Ovulation? So when that stuff goes away, when those variations go away, a lot of things go away. Depression frequently goes away if it was very hormonally impacted, which it is for so many of us. Migraines can go away if they were hormonally mediated, which it is for so many of us. I know my own mother and grandmother, their migraines went away in menopause. So it's an interesting because as a younger girl, I was told that it would only last until menopause. That's when my migraines would go away. And whether or not that's going to be true, like we'll see, you know, obviously here's hoping that when I go through menopause at some point, that does go away because migraines are horrible. Like it's horrible to have chronic pain of any sort. And I've discussed chronic pain, et cetera, et cetera. I have podcasts on that. I have a podcast on if chronic pain, if the only thing that it impacts is you sleeping with your husband, then that's not good or whatever. But the point is that was always told to me when I was young that if I was like them and I was in so many ways, then my migraines would eventually go away too. And they would probably go away in pregnancy. And they did go away in pregnancy. In the second and third trimester, they went away. Again, because hormones are so impactful. Right. So the second trimester, it's actually a good thing to talk about as another example. Women feel great because the hormones are the right way. Whatever the right way is, whatever the amount of estrogen is that's going on, women usually feel calm, productive, etc. in their second trimester. They feel like shit in their first and they feel unwieldy and horrible in their third, but the second one's good. And that was the same for me. So if you are impacted a lot by hormones, and oh, by the way, who else is going to be super impacted by hormones? Of course, highly sensitive people, because we're impacted by everything times a million. So it's like squaring anybody else's reaction is what you get for an HSP, a highly sensitive person. So if a person who's not an HSP has PMS, we have PMDD, you know, it's just like very, very, it's like times a million. So when women are freed of the constant up and down of the cycle, and this, of course, there's downside, you know, like there's sleeplessness for many, there's, you know, mood, your mood goes lower overall for many. There are obviously changes that happen when your hormones depart. But, and we do not talk about this enough, there are many older women who feel fine, you know, and who are happy to kind of be done with what was a very, very tough on them thing called the hormonal change over the month. When you have bad depression as a woman and it's the week before your period, you can even be suicidal. It's just like really, really bad. Yelling at the children, out of control. And then the only thing that helps is something that makes you, that has other side effects. You know, an antidepressant has other side effects. So like a lot of people like on the internet, which is of course, you know, like the Facebook comments are not where I hope to find great intellectual discourse, unless, of course, it is my Facebook group, which is great. But I mean the main page. But people are like, oh, so women are choosing, you know, self-care over sexual intimacy by like the idea that they would take an SSRI. No, you're choosing not to want to die over sex. Yep, that one, yes. And every mother should do that, by the way. You know, like if it is either or, which it frequently does not have to be, you talk to your doctor. Obviously, there are medications that have more or less sexual side effects, et cetera, et cetera. But I am the first to say, if you are plunged into some Black Mirror-esque, Twilight Zone-esque, zero-sum game where you are choosing either feeling suicidally depressed or your sex life, then you're definitely, your sex life's going to go if you're a parent. And in general, you know, because usually people who talk like that are people who have not experienced debilitating depression. So that's the reality. So the point is think about all the older women in your life, which many men and women sometimes fail to do. Were the older women that miserable? Were your grandmother and grandfather that unhappy together? Many people were not. Many people are like, oh, no, grandma was really useful. She was very helpful to us. I loved her very much. She did a lot of productive stuff, you know, in the community, and she did stuff at home, and she would bake, and she would cook, she would watch me, you know, and she seemed happy. Well, maybe she was happy, you know? And another thing that often is very, very interesting is when people's mothers act very crazy, and then they stop when they're grandmothers. And that could be super, super invalidating and even crazy making. But the reality is that the mother had been ruled by her hormones as she was younger, you know, and then she gets older, she's, her hormones even out, she has no more, pretty much, she goes, may go to therapy, may not, may find God, may not. I mean, there's like a lot of other variables, of course, may remarry. But she, what doesn't she have? She doesn't have her period, right? For sure. So if that was bad, and it was for a lot of women, and the kid didn't even think about it, of course. Well, who tracks their mother's menstrual cycle? That's even crazier than the men who have the spreadsheet, right? So you don't know. But a lot of women, you know, they grow up and they're like, oh, was my mother yelling at me? I thought my mother is such a huge bitch and she's so terrible. Was she really just like depressed and angry and irritable? And it was mediated by the same variables that impact me, like a bad marriage, her menstrual cycle, massive stress, like financial worries, whatever. So you start to think of your parents as different kind of people. And a big variable that I even tell women when they think that this might be the case, and they are people who still talk to their mother, to ask their mother, you know, were you really impacted by your period? You know, were, did you have really bad PMS? Was that some of why you struggled? If they are the people who could talk to their mothers openly. And often their mother says, yeah, obviously. And sometimes their mother says, yeah, I told you that. I would tell you that all the time. Don't you remember that? They're like, no, I don't remember that, because you don't listen to your parents. You know, like, I mean, you only listen to some of the things that they say. So anyway, when you even out in later life, which happens to many women, and this is not saying that if you want to take hormones, you shouldn't take hormones. You want to take hormones, take hormones. It's easier, obviously, for a woman to tell the side effects of hormones that she's taking, right? So let's say that you're getting close to menopause and your sleep is shit. So you decide you're going to try to take something for sleep, and they give you hormones, estrogen and progesterone, right? And then you take it, and then the whole next week you're crying. Well, I mean, you should be able to tell, shit, I took something and now I'm crying. All right, that's a side effect. These are too high, or maybe this isn't right, or whatever. But it's when you're in it, when you're not ingesting something, when it's just who you are, that a lot of women cannot parcel out the hormonal effect, you know, of what they're taking. And because they're not taking anything. So it's just learning to track your cycle that very much helps. But the point is that there are a lot of benefits called. You are not ruled by your cycle. And if you're a man listening, your wife is not ruled by her cycle. She isn't miserable half of the month. She doesn't want to divorce you all the time, because her moods are not up and down constantly, which they are for so, so many. Now, if she's not a person like that, if let's say she was just a person who was even keel and she always wanted to have sex, and now she's even keel and she doesn't, well, then yes, that's a net negative for you, certainly. But there are very few people whose wives are just, there are no people whose wives are a two-dimensional cardboard cutout. So there are usually other benefits to aging that people don't realize until they juxtapose the things. And they're like, oh no, we fought through like all of our 30s, basically. She was like mad at me all the time. Having young kids was terrible. When she was pregnant, she was, after the first whatever, she was so laying around all the time, tired, angry, hungry, like, you know, all of these things. So the point is, this is an interesting thing to think about, is what are the positives in our society? We don't think about that as much. In other societies, people respect their elders. They think that there are positives to aging. Wisdom is accrued. You have this life experience. You're kind of away and past the vicissitudes and the ups and downs of these hormonal shifts. And so you get to some kind of higher level where you're respected more. And in this society, it doesn't really happen like that. So I wish it would, and maybe it will. And at some point, but here's hoping. And I hope you got something out of this podcast. It would be a good one to think about and to discuss the topic with your spouse. What are the positives of us aging? And that is a sort of conversation, that's a deeper conversation that could really bring you guys close together. And either way, I will talk to you guys soon and have a great day. Thanks for listening.